yeah.
When you are broadcasting to the BBC, you are in the public eye. Correct dress is dinner jackets or full-length evening gowns.
Okay.
There are to be no swear words. Such words will be obliterated by this noise. Is that well clear? No fun will be poked at politicians, heads of state, or other persons who command public respect, or prime ministers. There will be no more jokes about unnatural relationships or masochism. Anyone disobeying will be whipped. Finally, if you will place your hands on your copies of the Radio Times, now available from all good news agents, we will recite the new BBC Ode.
And we will not love traditions and analogies, even if they are funny. We promise to love and respect you, we feel it, everyone you know, and even Simon D. And we think Mr. Wilson is a nice man. And we will not mention sex, oh, oh. But for the moment, we will take that
risk. For what it's worth, i.e. 3 and 6 to Dave Lee, that was the Angus Prune Tune. Which brings once more to the microphone, in fact, for the 66th time, Timbrook Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and the diminutive Bill Oddie. I'm sorry I'll read again is with you once more. And here to tell you about it is John Otto Cleese.
Oh, no, it's I'm sorry I'll read that again.
And a big hello.
Hello.
From Dave the Rave on the Medium Wave, bringing you the facts you want to know about the people you wish you didn't in Dave's Diary. Who's Nick my diary? Look at this. Page one. How to make your own woggle. Well, Dave's diary brings you news of the stars since you last heard them on your radio. Where have they been? June the 30th, 1968. The BBC announced...
I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Has ended.
The listeners are bewildered.
I didn't know it started. Oh, no!
But, as it turned out, taking the show off changed the habits of the nation. People had to find new things to do between 9.30 and 10 on Sunday evening. Some of them even started listening to radio. A huge audience research was conducted.
Excuse me there. Do you miss, I'm sorry, I'll read that again.
If I possibly can.
And you, madam, do you enjoy, I'm sorry, I'll read that again?
Oh, yes. But then I've always liked Nicholas Parsons. Ever since he did Beyond Our Ken.
Still, some people were desperate for I'm Sorry's return.
We need the money!
We really don't need the money.
The BBC admitted they'd made a mistake.
We should never have started it in the first place.
And it was announced that I'm Sorry would return immediately, which is BBC language for...
In 5 or 6 months, or more, or less. Possibly, indeed.
Meanwhile, July the 6th, Scruff's Dog Show. Jo Kendall enters her prize collie, but it comes second to a cabbage. It was beaten by a marrow margin. July the 20th. Timbrook Taylor silences rumours once and for all. He gets married. His wife says...
We are very happy.
Late July. ITV technician strike. First week of weekend television is lost by the audience. Early August. Strike over. Audience is lost by first week of weekend television. August the 6th. John Cleese takes up his pen to start work on a film. After 3 days, he discovers it's better to use a camera. Late August. John Cleese goes to a famous West Kensington store and buys 5 leverets. 5 leverets. Which he brings up in his flat. He comments...
It was a hair-raising experience.
He later trained the animal to sit on his bald head. When asked why, he replied,
"Because at a distance they look like rabbits."
Big beans?
Look like George the Third. Look here!
Very sorry, we do apologize for the fact that Joan Cleese has not, in fact, worked in live comedy for 6 months now, and is not quite back into the swing of things. Please do bear with him, and we feel sure he'll get one right before the end of the series.
September the 29th. Timbrook Taylor undertakes the most dangerous journey known to man. He goes to support Manchester United in Argentina. On the subject of football violence, Spilotti had this to say.
Ouch!
A spokesman returning from Spain commented,
"I don't know if you call Spanish football tough, but after the game I saw, the referee was awarded the goalkeeper's ears."
October the 6th. A female Bilotti is flown from Moscow and put in a cage with the original at London Zoo. October the 10th. Bilotti is blessed with a happy event. His TV breaks down during the Simon Dee show. October the 14th. The Olympic Games. Live from Mexico City, Dave Dowdy gave this report of the games were reaching their climax.
Dear, I'm sorry I'll read that again. These have certainly been the highlight of the games since the opening day when, with flaming torch held high, Graham Garden ran through the streets, sunlit flags and bunting. That's just part of the month. On the first day, like all the other female athletes, Joe Kevin was given a sex test, and she won the gold medal. In the field event, Bilotti caused a sensation in the pole vault by using a new fiberglass John Cleese. He was placed second, but unfortunately could not manage to climb the rostrum to receive his medal. David Hatch, our entry for the shot put, dropped the shot on his foot and was placed third in the hop, step, and jump. Hop, jump, step, hop, squeal, and faint. The events are still going on, and now a brief air at the Olympic boxing ring where we are just in time to catch the dying seconds.
Well, we've been watching a featherweight bout featuring the diminutive Indian boxer who is now sitting in his corner, relaxing on a bed of lead. A little bit of lead on points.
Entirely naked from the knees down. and yearly speech on the title song that expresses so much of the message of me. We're the younger generation!
Yeah!
Said David Hatch.
We like formative words!
Ram, sock, twig!
Bump!
We're proud of our knees!
Yeah! You got knees, I got knees, we all got knees!
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 Knees are beautiful! They're a symbol of rebellion!
We're tired of our parents saying, when are you going to get your knees cut? Roll up your trousers and live!
Knees are cool!
Knees!
They're your knees like a badge on your chest!
A well-known supermarket was broken into, and 5 pounds of lettuces and 500 cigarettes were stolen. Police are looking for a rabbit with a bad cough. And now... and now, let us meet again those 3 remarkable 8-month-old babies. All the more remarkable because after... all these years, they're still 8 months old.
Hey, Rupert. Hey, Ned.
Hello, Johnny.
Great.
You two look awful.
There you are.
White as a sheet.
Yes, well, I've just come back from holiday.
Where do you go?
Mallorca. 2 families together.
Very cool.
Never stopped arguing.
My parents brought along some old bag. I was supposed to call Auntie Lil. Never seen her before in my life.
That was my mother.
Anyway, where do you go, Johnny?
Bogna. Bet I had a better time than you did.
Well, it couldn't have been worse. All that flying.
Did you get the boiled sweet bit?
Yeah, 5 minutes after takeoff. I'm lying there clenching my gums and swallowing, just like they tell you to. And my idiot father says, here, suck this. I just spat it out in Mummy's handbag.
Threw up all over the air hostess. We went by train.
Yeah.
Of course, adults don't really enjoy going abroad, you know.
Actually, I started sending them up. I had my father waste 3 sunny days looking for old English rusks. Then I dropped them in my potty.
I made a sandcastle.
Mm. So young, isn't he? A bit
they boiled everything. Surely, though, babies can catch all sorts of horrid things in foreign countries.
Grow up, Johnny. You're worse than our parents. They have babies in Mallorca, don't they?
Mind you, I didn't go much on them. Smug, bronze little beasts in their fancy shawls.
They do smell different, don't they?
Yeah. They all look the same to me. You can't develop much individuality in families that size, can you? I buried three of them in the sand one morning. It was tea time before their mother missed them. That was only when she realised the Lambretta wasn't full.
Well, at least they were brown.
And mind you, it was worth it for the birds, eh?
Oh, golly, yes, that is lovely, eh? Oh, they take everything off.
The lot.
Every morning, gorgeous little two-year-old Dolly comes on the beach with her mummy. Into the bathing hut, out they come. Not a stitch.
Mummy as well.
No, you fool. You know, parents think babies don't know about that sort of thing.
Yeah, we do. What sort of thing?
Oh, dear.
Well, where are you two going next year?
Bob now. Mm. Flying, of course.
Should be great. Where are you going?
Mallorca. Oh, you won't like that.
Again, proudly announces the start of a new weekly serial. So sit back, fasten your seatbelts, hold on to your hats, keep your eyes peeled, and cross your legs, because it's time for episode one of our new science fiction adventure serial, Professor Prune and the Electric Time Traveler.
Time trousers. You can travel through time and space. Yes, you can journey to the ends of the universe, to the very limits of time itself. Calling it Rugby Stafford Crew here.
Come with us for a ride in the electric time trousers.
Standing room only.
See the weird secrets of time and space revealed.
Oh.
Discover the unexplored reaches of the human mind.
Oh, goody, I shall enjoy that.
It's fantastic. It's amazing. It's a psychedelic roller coaster ride through mind expanding cosmos to a hip, hip, post button flip, ring a ding, magical mystery trip beyond the blue horizons of the mind.
Same old rubbish, then, isn't it?
Yeah. High adventure in the fourth dimension with a star-studded cast. Graham Garden as the mysterious Professor Prune. You loved him in Hamlet. You idolized him in Macbeth. You ignored him in the street. Tell to him now in the performance of a lifetime.
15 long years I've been locked in the laboratory. Yes, away from the world, working night and day, all alone. Yes, locked in there for 15 years. 15 years! What have you been doing? Trying to get out.
Starring John Otto Cleese with that lovable boy next door appeal of his, which you first saw in the Luftwaffe Follies of 1935. Here he is to capture your heartstrings once again in the role of Percy Plimsoll, the professor's faithful assistant.
I say, Prof, your trouble is that the bulb flange ratio is disengaging with the grommet pules and your scrummy bit. Well, I mean, it might be a grub wild, Nick, the way the second pump's modulating. Is it? No, I'll just alter the plunge pot spinning setting, so. And it should work. Let's see. Amazing, Percy. I've never heard a bicycle do that. It's not a bicycle, it's a duck.
Oh, I wondered why it was such hard work pedaling it uphill.
Starring Winston Bellotti, attacking the biggest role of his career. And as soon as he's followed it, he'll be playing the part of Basil, the professor's nephew.
Oh, cork, so yummy, oh, pike yummy. Say my sainty darn pike golly and all that sort of rot, gumdrops and strings.
Please don't try to adjust your set. There is a fault with Bellotti.
And also starring Jo Kendall, who captured your hearts with her performance in the title role of the Mousetrap, and earned for herself the affectionate nickname of the It Girl.
Not him or her, just it.
And now she plays the professor's niece, Basil's sister, Trixie.
Oh, Cork, so yummy, crikey, comes to her. Oh, I'm going to be sick.
Well, there's the card. And now, on with the show.
Wait a minute. What about me?
Oh, yes. And starring Timbrook Taylor, now attempting the most challenging part of his lifetime, as he takes on the role of Spot, their faithful dog. Woof! Thank you. And now, let the story begin.
I say, Cork's Uncle Professor Prune, Crikey.
Yes, Leslie.
Can we see around your laboratory, please, oh, golly?
Oh, Crikey, yes, hello. Can we please go?
Oh, gosh, comes the no beaver.
Shut up. Now then, children, here's the door to my lab. It's got a special lock on it. Now look, I'll just see the password in here. Long woolly underwear.
Crikey, Uncle. The door opened when you said long woolly underwear.
Yes, the combination lock.
The laboratory was filled with an amazing array of machinery. The two youngsters were stumped.
Golly, gosh, Crikey, fun. Gobstoppers, chewing gum.
Uncle, will you show us some of your inventions?
This is my prize invention.
Golly, it just looks like an ordinary pair of trousers.
It does indeed. But look inside.
Goodness gracious.
That's incredible.
Follow me with these.
With these words, the mysterious professor clambered into the strange pair of trousers, and the puzzled youngsters followed him.
Now then, let me show you around. Here are the living quarters in the hip pocket, and in this pocket we have the control room, and down there is the library.
Library, where's that?
Right down there at the end of the left trouser leg.
That's a turn up for the books.
Now then, I'll just ring for Percy, my faithful assistant.
I've got another one. Bill Bottom trousers.
Shut up, Spot.
At last, I'm ready to set off on this amazing voyage of discovery through time.
I say, Quips, Uncle. Can we come too?
But of course, my dear. The return fare is a mere £500.
Here you are. Will you take a check?
Certainly. Wait a minute. This check, it's not yours. It's signed by your dog.
That's right, Uncle. It's a Spot check.
Shut up. Wait a minute. That does it.
Look, this is a new serial. You've all got new parts to play. What do I get? A rotten dog. 5 lines I've had so far, and every one of them a wolf.
Well, that's better than ours.
They may be better than yours, but every time I say wolf, you all say, shut up, Spot. I'm fed up. I want to be Lady Constance.
Look, Tim, there isn't any Lady Constance anymore. I'm very sorry. There's no place for her.
I see. So it's come to this, has it? No place for good old Lady Constance. I suppose in all this hippie psychedelic neutrality setup, there's no room for... Oh, faithfuls have served you well in the past. Well, I'm not proud.
If that's the way it's gonna be, then that's the way it's gonna be.
But with the passing of Lady Constance, perhaps, just perhaps, this is the passing of an era.
Shut up, Spot.
What? I say, Uncle, how does this time machine of yours work?
Oh, well, Basil, here are the controls. Now, this is the button that starts the machine, and if I was to press it, we'd be off on our trip into the unknown dangers of time.
Quips, Uncle, if it's so dangerous, why ever do you want to go?
Well, my child, you could say that I'm running away.
Running away from what?
I'm running away from something. Something you couldn't understand. Something terrible. Something so monstrously horrible. Something so dreadfully ghastly. So...
Before the astonished gaze of Lady Constance, the strange pair of trousers containing the professor and his crew faded away and vanished.
Come back, Professor! Come back, all of you! Come back, Spot!
Come back, Spot?
Yes, I'd chase anything in trousers.
But they had gone, leaving Lady Constance far behind them. In the control room of the trousers, Percy Plimsoll was plotting a course.
I see, in a shepherd's pie with greens and
when suddenly he heard a little noise behind him.
Who's there? There's a stowaway on board. Who are you?
Hello, sweetheart. It's only me, you know.
Who are you?
They call me Helmut von Schweinhund, sugar doll.
You're a foreign spy, aren't you?
See, you're pretty quick on the uptake, aren't you, sugar plum? You know that? My employers would give a lot of money for the secret of this machine.
Who are you? Oh. Well, I'm an Englishman, you filthy swine.
Oh.
I know how to deal with your sort. I'm British through and through, and there's only one thing to say to people like you. Inevitably, how much?
1,000.
1,000 pounds?
Of course not. 1,000 British Railways Chelsea buns. The only deal in hard currency. You must admire the bravery of it.
Here are the secrets.
Wait a minute. What's going on here?
Curse it. I am discovered.
I heard it all through the door. You should be ashamed of yourself. Chelsea buns, hard currency.
Professor, I demand that you return at once, Philly.
Of course, I can't go back to that.
Very well. I shall make this machine crash.
Helmut von Schweinhund.
You wouldn't.
I would, baby. Why do you think they call me Crash Helmet? I've no idea. Why do they?
Just to embarrass me.
Keep away from those controls.
Tonight, this is the end for you, my fine friend.
Is this really the end?
Will von Schwein and the Phoenix fell and finally find a frightening beast for a fine port? Oh, fiddlestick.
Will Professor Pullen postulate a pragmatic plan to prove paralytic to the pesky Prussian pest?
Listen to next week's adventure-packed installment of The Time Trousers to find out for yourselves. Well, if you understood all that, may we recommend a psychiatrist. The voices you heard belong to Simple Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall and Bilotti. They're not necessarily in that order. The script was written by Bilotti and Graham Garden. The song was written by Bilotti. The music was arranged by Leon Cohen and played by Dave Lee and the boys. The production was by David Hatch and Peter Titheridge. But before you switch off, quickly now over to Mexico City for the latest news on the Olympics.
Well, here in Mexico City, the Olympic Games finished 3 months ago.
More Olympic news next week. But meanwhile, here's John Otto Cleese with a message for the nation.
I am John Otto Cleese and I claim my £5.